My name's Galen Morgan. I'm the cotton specialist or cotton agronomist based out of College Station, Texas with Texas AgriLife Extension Service, and I'll be moderating this last section today. This is a graduate student competition. If you haven't noticed, there have been lots of questions for each one of the individuals. We're trying to just make sure that each person gets some questions so there's some equality between the individuals. So we would encourage any of you in the audience to ask questions, because if you don't, the judges will have to. So if you have any burning questions, just ask them. So we'll go ahead and get started. First presentation is going to be by Eugene Nguyen, with the title Regulated Deficient Irrigation Application and the Physiological Responses of Cotton in Southwest Texas. So Eugene, and Eugene, you'll have to use the pointer.
Just use
your mouse for the pointer.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. Welcome back, everyone. Actually, if you attend last year's Bell White, you should recognize this exactly same title. So actually, it is a continuous report. So our objectives, actually, there's an issue with the increasing population in Southwest Texas. So we do have more demands in the urban area that we need more water. The water resources are always limited in any area. So we have to think about whether we can move some water from the other area. One of the places from the agriculture, that's exactly where from the irrigation. So okay, first, before we go on with this, do me a favor, do not really try to look this book in the Amazon.com. It's not really exist. It's a fake cover. But what I'm going to cover here is some basic idea that's make sure you haven't understand some essential things that you can understand my discussion later on. So first, the RDI. What's RDI? It stands for? It's Regulated Deficit Irrigation. So I'm not going to go over that too much in detail, but if you see here, we get a lysimeter, and you measure the standard, or say the we mark it as ETO. That's the standard evapotranspiration, and you multiply by the crop coefficient, then you can compute the crop evapotranspiration. That's based on different species. And in this case, if you have a 1-inch evapotranspiration in, or say the water loss from the field in cotton, then you get a ratio for 70%. Taking this as an example, you're going to apply 0.7-inch in the cotton field. That's how much you apply for irrigation. And in this our presentation, you'll notice I'll keep on saying fixed and dynamic schemes. There's two RDI schemes. Let's take 70% as the example. For fixed, we always use the X this X followed by a number of standard for fixed RDI schemes. Actually, the two lines are a bit overlapped, but if you look into this, this line is a green line, so it should start from zero all the way down here. So means through the whole growing season, you'll keep on applying 70%. You're not going to adjust the ratio. And on the contrary, if you see the dynamic, it's the red line, then you apply the 70% up to a certain day, that's when we see the first bloom. Then you bump it up to 100% in the fruiting stage and keep on running till probably 25% or like 20% open ball. That's the place you keep 100% rather than 70%. Then right after that, we call it a pre-harvesting time. Then you cut the water ratio to 10% only, or even make an early cut. You do not irrigate anymore. By this way, you apply more water in this stage, and you get less water in the later harvesting time, then these two parts can be compensated and keep the same 70% ratio. That's how the dynamic works. Okay, let's go over the on-farm experiments, and this is such as a background. We have a previous research at Uvalde that we applied this research in not only in cotton but the other crops, the sorghum like window wheat. And we have three treatments, 100 as the always as a standard, and we have a fixed RDI 75 and 50. We found that 75 is not significant different from 100%. So it means you can save up to 25% of irrigation water. The point is, can we save more? That's why we need to go on with this research. So in my experiment in at the Uvalde Center from 2008 until 2009, we have a 7 treatment, again 100% as standard. You have a fixed ratio for 4 from 80 to 50, and you have dynamic, it's 70D and 50D. It's a strip plot design and with the 4 replications. Irrigation was applied every time you see 1 inch water loss. And in 2 years we used different cultivars just because we want to apply this knowledge more general. If you pull out the thing, the result, you don't want to only say I'm going to make this result or conclusion only based on 4 varieties. But I want to apply more general. And the materials we use the lysimeter. There's a linear or center pivot irrigation system. We use a nutrient probe to measure soil moisture, and use the LICO 6400 measure the major physiological parameters like such as the photosynthetic rate, water use efficiency, leaf conductance and transpiration rate. We have a plant sampling for biomass, a link yield, fiber quality, all these parameters collected. But in this presentation, I'm going to only show you the link yield as a major results, and we'll try to put some proof from, or say the support from the photosynthetic rate and water use efficiency. If you're interested, you can go to see the poster number 12, and then there's a fiber quality issue. This is a basic background for growing season precipitation. Is the more precipitation you get, the less irrigation you need. And in the 30-year average from 1971 to 2000, we got 12.4 inches. In 2008, we get a little bit less, but it's in general like 10 inches. And in 2009, we get extremely hot summer and a real rare water. It's about 3 inches. So it's hot and dry. It's a bit different condition from 2008. The cultivar effects, as if you grow, you may know that Delta Pi 555 also works better. In 2008, we see that this is the confirmed result. And in 2009, DP 935 and the FM 9180 works almost the same as the best cultivar. But this is not really our major interest. So we're going to move on. And before that, I want to mention there's no interaction was detected. So everything was pulled out just by average, not all the variety effects. Let's go over with the treatment effects with irrigation. So see from a link yield in 2008, this one I cross out because there's a mechanical failure, then we got over irrigated for the 60%. So don't really question me too much on this one, just a problem. From here you see the fixed ratio threshold should be between the 80% and 70% as you see the mean separation from here. And the two dynamic schemes has no significant difference from the 100%. In 2009, well, you see the difference. This one is extremely high, then the others are lower. But what's the reason behind it? First, the results pulled out from the seed cotton times 0.35, this is predicted, because we haven't get a lean yield so far. And then if you analyze by variety compared to 100%, you see these two, I hope you still remember, these two varieties has the highest the yield. And these two, we confirm that 80% still work compared to 100% means no significant difference, and 70% does. And for dynamic, these two also works fine. This the same result as what we have in 2008. So 50 deep is good for the two highest yield cultivar, but not for the lower yield. And whether we can see any proof from the physiological parameters, this is only a brief discussion. I'm not going to go over too much because the time is limited. So from 2008, you see, for net photosynthetic rate, you should always remember the higher the better. So this one, 50% is pretty the lowest. And if you see this two are dynamic, they shows up a no difference from 80%, or say they really improve the lower photosynthetic rate compared to a 50% fix or 70% fix. And the same result you see from 2009, 70, 50 here, and 70D, 50D, definitely higher. So that's one of the evidence. But from water use efficiency, means that for each unit of water, how much CO2 you can assimilate. You did not really see much here, because for the 2008, we only get a 50% fixed increase. I mean, it is the highest one. And in 2009, you did not detect anything. The reason behind it is that these measurements are based on a repeated measure. And in 2008, we measured 5 times. And in 2009, there are 4 times measurement. And everything was analyzed with the SAS mix model. And you just probably balancing it out, or there be some average effect if you analyze the data in that way. So there definitely need some more look into the data, but so far we did not really find much things whether what is the efficiency as evidence. Okay, regarding to the comments on dynamic, actually it's really hard to keep the same ratio. That's what I mentioned, possibly you want to keep the 70%, but sometimes it can be up and down, and what the reasons depends on the annual precipitation total and also the distribution of that. Like here is an example, in 2008 we have 9.7 inches, but there are 5.1 inches that happened in August. It's heavy rainfall. So you're looking back into this graph, if you get a lot of rainfall here, probably it's not a big problem to keep the ratio. But if you get a lot of water here, imagine that, you cannot really put this back. So means in this case, your dynamic ratio get increased. Okay, let me summarize what I'm talking today. So for fixed regulate deficit irrigation, the threshold is still stands between 80% and 70%, so there's not much potential that we can save. And through the dynamic scheme, at least the 70%, 30% of irrigation can be saved if it's in the average year. So it means the distribution of the precipitation is pretty mean. If the extreme rainfall occurs in the later season, you cannot really save that much, so it's dramatically reduced. So dynamic, it can be induced improving on the net photosynthetic rate, but not really on water use efficiency, as I showed before. So in general, I would like to recommend it for a 70% dynamic irrigation scheme for normal year. By this next step, I'm going to try to go from the maintaining the yield, and that's what the goal we set, but whether we can get more profit. And there's induced in the cost-benefit analysis. Yeah, we try to induce more than only the 70 or 50 dynamics. They try to find the best or the optimized RDI. They're involving more modeling work and the field experiments as well. So that's the end of my talk. I appreciate the time you spent here and hope you get any questions, please.
Any questions? I have one, Eugene.
Yes.
Yes.
You're not increasing the water use efficiency. How are you?
The reason for the water use efficiency I measure here is through the LICOR system, and it's measured. The water use efficiency parameter I measure is through the LICOR 6400 system, and it's measured as a point, a certain point at during the noon. You know, especially in the 2009, it's really hot and the dry weather, probably get the plant get really stressed. So my concern is I'm going to check the biomass and compute the water use efficiency in a different way and see whether we can see the difference. But so far from the point of measurement, I did not see the significance.
The main question is the relation to irrigation water efficiency, not the gas.
This is the gas exchange. Right. So I can compute that through the biomass because I have the measurement.
How did you calculate the evapotranspiration, ET?
The ET was computed through, first we have a grass lysimeter, then you can use the Pernamontis equation, or you can directly measure it, both ways will work, and you get the ETO. And there's a crop coefficient, we already did a lot of work in Uvalde Center, so you have the data and for in different stages. You can apply the data there, and you can compute the ETC, or the crop evapotranspiration for every day. Then you just accumulate that until you see 1 inch. You apply the irrigation and then zero it up.
All right, thank you. Let's give him a round of applause.